Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Well, that sounds like we're off the air. What the hell is that? Oh, this is the composer that goes by one name. Is this Bodart? The one, the only Jeff Bodart sent this music in.
Man, this is weird.
These comments are from the very first podcast. Hi, welcome back to Off the Air with Chick McGee. That's Jason, our producer. Say hi.
You know, I got we got an email that says a little bit less Jason on it.
When did they say that?
I don't know. They said, hey, thanks for Jason for giving you a shove, but now he can just back off.
Well, and Jess is here, my girlfriend, who is sometimes co-host. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
And our special guest this week is the one, the only comedian, Greg Warren.
Boo.
Boo.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, guys. It's really good to be here.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Yeah.
You don't look like you feel well.
I'm all right, man. I'm good. I just got booed.
You guys have done that for quite a while. You have a playful, I'm assuming it's playful, kind of a, like Greg will be on the Bob and Tom show and Jess will tweet, hey, don't suck on the show this morning, Greg.
She gives me the business. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
But I made an effort to not do it today.
Well, thank
you.
Yeah,
that was probably best.
That was, thank you.
It's email time, Greg. Do you know how the show works? I'm sure you're a long-time listener.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I could email, I think less Jason, actually.
You know, that's...
get in line.
Oh, here's what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. Jess needs to be a part of every show.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the... why isn't she the host and you, Chick, are the co-host? Why isn't that happening?
I think it's because Jason's talking too much.
Mm. I got shit to do.
So what's that kind of show? All right.
Big old boobies. These are all catchphrases. Hey, here, it's email time. Dear Chick, I've been a Bob and Tom fan for well over half of my 28 years. That's 14 years. I moved to Tulsa last year from Indiana.
Hold on, I'm running the numbers on that one.
Law school. Have missed the show out here. My sister told me about your podcast yesterday. I've been in the law library working on one project for over 8 hours at this point, decided to take the time to listen to the podcast. This has made me laugh through the frustration that is law. This is super. I appreciate the time and effort you've put into this. You kept me company this evening. Thanks, Nathan. Well, thank you, Nathan. That's very nice.
Breaking the law.
Maybe I'll get him as an attorney. Put him on my dream team.
Yes. We need a dream team.
We do. Chickster, that podcast with Dr. Will was some of the most insightful information I've listened to on depression and actually provided me with some great insight as to why I felt so detached and depressed lately. And also why my in-laws are crazy. Keep up the great work. Loving the podcast. Everyone's better than the last. Everyone is better than the last podcast. And stop overanalyzing it, you crazy bastard. That's Joe. Let's see. Dear Chick, I'm a 20-year Bob and Tom listener. I have certificate of certification for the Junior Announcers Club hanging on my office wall. Do you have one of those, Greg? Did I hook you up with one of those?
No, actually, I never did get one.
Yeah. Well, you have to be on the air on the radio to actually...
This is off the air.
And he has a Morning Breath Club card in his wallet. It's fun to hear a different perspective from you, and I love the podcast. I like that it is your show, but it would be cool to have the other three on just once so they could say the F word. Thanks for making my morning day after day. Thank you, Doug. P.S. Sorry if my spelling sucks, but I'm on my phone and I'm a little drunk. Hi, Mr. McGee. My name is Evan Smith. I just had to drop you a line and tell you that the episode you just did with the one before the last one with Dr. Will was seriously awesome. You guys have great chemistry. I love Dr. Will. I am a Boilermaker. Dr. Will went to Purdue.
Boiler up!
Jason went to Purdue. Anyway, I just wanted to drop you
a
line.
I didn't go to Purdue!
Missouri. Did Missouri have a scream? Mizzou! Or something like that?
Yeah, Mizzou-ra, I think, or M-I-Z.
And then Mizzou-ra.
So you went there. Is that what you're saying? You know all about it.
I would say M-I-Z, and then Jason over there, being the other side of the stadium, would say Z-O-U. Let's try it real quick.
Okay.
Can we take a break from the...
Sure. No, go ahead.
Yeah. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Yeah, it's like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to
that. That's great.
It did fire me up. Yeah. I got to tell you.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, you ready to read some letters
Ohio
now?
Ohio State, they've got O-H. And then they go on the other side, I-O. What does Ball State have?
It's completely different.
Ball State have a thing?
Ball U? I don't know.
One side says ball, and the other side says U?
No, the other side doesn't say anything.
They just say ball.
They just say ball. And then ball. The other side is saying is silence, but it's an actual pause.
What's the bumper sticker? I'd rather ball you than I you, right?
That's
possible. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you would be.
Hold on, I'm trying. I'd
rather have sex with you.
Sex
just look
thing,
at you.
Rather give you what's for than just
Where
stare you
I?
Up and down.
Oh, Dr. Will's awesome. Program's awesome. I just wanted to drop you a line, tell how great the show is.
It's putting a lot of pressure on this.
You're a cool guy and hilarious. Well, they like me because they don't know.
They don't
me.
Know.
Keep up the good work, man, as long as it's enjoyable.
All right.
Thanks for the missing signal, Evan. And let's see, your podcast keeps getting better and better. Let's see, the last episode I listened to with Dr. Will, one of my all-time favorite guests. I hated to hear that one end. Thanks for not talking down to us listeners. This is in our mission statement. I like that you make the assumption that we have a bit of intelligence and can follow along.
Okay, let me try and explain to you guys what he's saying right there. Sure. Let's slow this one down. Now, what he's trying to explain to you is that
Listen, our emailers are great. That's and I'm just giving you a fraction of them, Chick. We get a ton of great emails.
Jason, you want to back off a little bit?
Okay.
Yeah. Love the podcast and the Bob and Tom Show. Have you ever experienced any UFO incidents?
That's all.
Sightings, etc. Just curious.
Oh. It's an open forum. They can ask whatever questions
they
want.
Open forum.
What do we meant? What do we learn? Open forum.
Yeah. So UFOs, go.
Have you?
Me?
Yeah, UFOs.
You know what? I think I do sometimes because I'm out in the morning and I see lights and stuff. But what I figured out with all these sightings are is if you're in your car.
That you have a floater in your eye.
I do have a lot of floaters.
Do
especially
you?
My
yeah,
right
he does.
Eye.
He
do.
Complains about them all the time.
Can't you get that fixed?
Evidently, you can't. The way you can get it fixed, the doctor told me, hi, Dr. Lanner, told me that it would be like killing a fly with a shotgun. Because the floaters.
That sounds about your speed.
This is a rough one. This has been a rough one. Everybody, so far, if this is your first podcast, we all hate each other. No, that's not what I mean, dear. In order to get the floaters out of your eye, there's some sort of
surgery
you have to go to.
I don't see why you just wouldn't use a fly swatter.
Right. And like smack yourself in the eye?
Well, yeah, I just don't. A shotgun is going to be wholly unnecessary. It's a lot of overkill.
If you guys
frankly.
Aren't going to have a sensible conversation about eye floaters, I don't want.
So, yes or no on the UFOs?
What I've decided is that when I'm driving,
he's going to shoot you in the eye.
Not with a shotgun. That was a. When you're looking at your windshield and you see all these lights going by and everything, sometimes the reflection on the windshield is up in the sky every now and then. So I think that's what people see. The reflection of the lights going by in your windshield, I catch something out of the corner of my eye, things like that.
Flies in his eye?
They're a team. I've never seen a UFO, I don't think. But I do like the UFO sightings in Area 51 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I do enjoy this program.
If you happen to see something out of the ordinary, you would believe it was a UFO?
I might think. I see something and I go, I think to myself, is that a UFO?
Okay.
I don't think, there's got to be an explanation for that. Okay. I don't do that, no.
All right.
Greg Warren is here. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Chick.
How long have we known each other, Gregory?
I would say 8 or 9 years.
I was going to go, as we know each other now, probably 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get in trouble, we call each other.
We do.
Bail money, stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely.
You know Jess?
I know Jess well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys have known each other almost as long as Greg and I have. Pretty close.
Pretty much.
Yeah, kind of.
A little less. Yeah.
You enjoy, you still like, who did I make this point with the last couple podcasts ago? I said, there are some comedians out there who I don't think will ever be happy with the material and the audience they're accepted by at the same time. There are very few that are happy with the audience and the people they're entertaining and who they perceive as their audience. And they're also happy there with their material at the same time. Do you think that comedian exists? Because what I hear is like, the people I'm attracting they're not smart enough or they're not.
Yeah, I think that's a bunch of crap. Like, I do. I think the who my audience, who I'm attracting.
But isn't that, we don't want to name any names or anything, but that's something I hear backstage. I wish I had a better cross section of people in my audiences.
Quit crying. Just be thankful you have an audience.
Yeah.
That's a little harsh, and I wouldn't say that personally about anybody, but I think that if anybody's very happy about their material, like totally happy about their material,
none of the comedians are totally satisfied with.
If they are, they're probably not very good.
Really?
Honestly, I don't think they're very good. Because
I think you have to, you're constantly evolving as a comedian. You can't ever be 100% happy with it, because then you're done, kind of. Like, that's it.
Oh, that's you're going to say, then you're John Fox.
Oh, well.
I mean, back in the day, people did that.
They had their,
and then they just stuck with it.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, he's
today's,
the same.
Today's guys like you guys want to evolve. You want to get better.
And one of the things I've always said about you, and we've talked about this, is that you, Jess and I have pointed at Jess, you are prolific. I mean, you're always writing. I mean, we were on the road for 3 or 4 years together, mm-hmm. and you had kind of a set list as far as 25 minutes goes, but it didn't last very long. I mean, every tour we go on, you'd have something brand new, and mm-hmm.
that's
sadly, I can't say that a lot of. I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm going to. I can't say that about a lot of guys.
Well, as long as you're not naming names, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No, but I think that there's guys that are better about me than that. I think Louis C.K. for one,
right.
does
the,
you
just
know,
talking
sure.
about him.
A full new hour every year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how he does that.
I don't know.
I wish
that.
I could do it. I have this theory that you have to be really, really good before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to have an audience that loves you to do that
right.
with. But, he earned every bit of that audience. Birbiglia, I think, does that. And Tommy Jonigan turns over material faster than pretty much anybody I know. I'd like to think that I can do that. You wonder what the right mix is. I always said if I'm doing an hour at a headline show, and half hour of it is material that's brand new that they didn't see last year, and the half hour is the hits or whatever, Flute Man and it's a one star stuff. Then I'm doing the right thing, but I don't know.
I think you're doing the right thing. You think he's doing the right thing?
But it's cool. You have a half hour of hits.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry, I didn't have the mic on.
No, that was better before. A little less.
You scared me earlier, so I didn't want to turn the mic on.
No, I don't. I'm not. I feel
stop
like
stop it.
I feel like a fool when I say the word hits. But material that has resonated with people in the past.
Right.
Who do you think the happiest comedian is? Because I think.
A type or a specific person?
Like they're happy with being, they're happy as a person.
Well, given what I just said, it would be a put down.
Yeah.
Be like, look at John again, man. He's happy all the time.
Daffy bastard.
Yeah. Gotta know anything, man. He's completely unaware. Yeah. Because he's stupid is
Jonigan?
It's
oh,
stupid,
idiot,
just dumb, and completely unaware of his surroundings.
Can't give me change for a 10.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's sad, but
yeah, you could do 5 and well. Anyways, no, I don't know. I'm not going to say a name because I just sort of equated, I think I'm a. Maybe not anymore.
Well, yeah,
I was going to say I'm a generally happy person.
You seriously were. I think that when I first met you and started hanging out, I was like, he's always upbeat. He's always happy.
I was just going to say that. You are the
nicest.
But now
you're almost like a tortured soul when it comes to comedy and women. It's like one of those has got you down.
Almost all the time.
Almost all the time.
It seems
I'm
like.
I'm sorry.
listen, his voice is even starting to turn into Henry's. Like that.
Yeah. You have a liquor license? No, but we were talking about this earlier driving to lunch. Jess and I were like, he never, I can't remember the last negative thing. Well, I can, but I can't share it.
I know.
Last negative thing you said about anybody. You've got to be the most positive
Well, even before today, I remember.
Yeah, probably so.
I've said a few things, yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
you're...
You know.
But you always defend... You're usually defending
if they're a friend, I'll
us.
Defend them. I think that, you know,
yeah,
you
but
should.
Everybody's your friend. I mean, everybody...
I know a lot of people.
Unless they work at a restaurant.
Yeah. I probably am rude to servers. I am.
I don't know if you're rude to them. You just...
dismissive, maybe.
You're practical.
We had lunch with him today, and they brought broccoli instead of brown rice.
Oh, no.
And it's like, when I saw it and realized that's not what he ordered, it's like when you know your dad's getting ready to get mad, and you're like,
I was cool about it. I didn't say anything.
I know, but the look on your face, it's like, the look on his face said way more. Yeah.
We knew you were ready to, but...
It's like he looked down, and he started to shake his head, and it's like, he's getting ready to say, I'm going to beat your ass. Like,
I have never said, I'm going to beat your ass.
You
no, but that's the look.
I think it all the time. If I said what I thought, I'd be the worst person in the world. I think you said that I don't say bad things about people. I think I just...
But it's a conscious decision.
I have a better filter than most people.
It's great control.
I think I have a better filter. I don't think...
But
I'm
you do have negative things to say about a lot of people.
Yeah, worse than anybody. I'm not a horrible person inside. Just a terrible person.
You can barely be around
nothing
us.
Nothing good to say. I think awful thoughts about people.
Oh, yeah.
But I still can't figure that shit out about a lot of comedians because, you know, here's the thing. If you have a problem with, especially like a club owner or whatever, it's okay to think it. Okay. Okay. Here's that thing where like, somebody, you're talking about something and somebody's got a thing that you don't have or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Or a better joke.
Yeah. Let's say.
Or a cooler t-shirt.
Let's say, you know, Tommy has a sitcom.
Who's this, Jonigan?
Yeah, Jonigan. Okay. I'm using Tommy as an example because he's one of my
best
friends.
We both know him and love him.
Yeah, I love him, and everybody that knows me would know that I'm, you know. Okay, so and somebody says, yeah, Tommy's got an HBO show or whatever, and I'd say,
Man, that's great. I can just hear you go, really?
I would. And for him, I would be genuinely happy. Right. But you know, if it's a comedian, a lot of people are like, that's stupid shitbag or whatever. You know, like now everybody thinks that at a lot of times. Everybody thinks that. So the one level is, okay, you think it. That's fine. Now, there probably are people out there that don't think it. Those people amaze me. Those are the ones that go straight to heaven or whatever, that they don't even have the bad thought in the first place.
See, what I would think that about you. This is news to me that you actually do have those thoughts. You just don't share them.
I have them, but you don't say them, okay? Mm-hmm. So then the next worst thing is to say it. You say, okay, now you're really screwing up. And then then there's people that are dumb enough to put it in writing or say it on an answering machine or like email. If you email something to someone, now there's a permanent record of the fact that you're an idiot. So,
So that just makes the situation worse.
I mean, I have positive thoughts about a lot of people. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, but I also have like pettiness and all that stuff.
And jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
So why do you keep it in? Why don't you let it come out?
To be a decent person.
Okay. Your mom and dad?
I was raised better. Okay. So you ever have that thing where like you think maybe that I was just, there's some sort of controls that my parents just instituted in me. I'm not really a good person, but somehow I just behave like one because I had some controls. Yeah, I think I'm barely a good person, like barely. You know, like I'm so close to being a bad person. You ever get credit for doing something really nice? Like they're like, hey man, that was really good that, you know, you went backstage and talked to that kid. And I was like, man, if you knew how close I was to not going back there and talking to that kid,
I was thinking
you would not
stuff.
Think like it was like 90-10 that I was not going to go. I pulled it out at the last minute and I get credit for it. Yeah, there's got to be something wrong with that system. You know?
I was going to fake a stomach ache. I was going to do something.
Yeah, in my head, I was like, I don't want to go talk to this kid. But like in my head, I'm like, I don't want to talk to him. It's stupid. And then I start vilifying the kid. Like, who does he think he is? Like awful things. You know, this kid, I mean, I got stuff to do. When I was a kid, I didn't go bug people. You know, don't you have a father that yells at you sometimes and tells you to shut up? Have you ever learned to shut? Like, this is what's going on here. And then at the end, I'm like, okay, you know what? You just go talk to the kid. Just be nice. And then somebody's like, he's the nicest guy. He went and talked to the kid. Man, if you knew how close I was talking to that kid.
With Chick and I have had this conversation 1,000 times where we'll, you're in a really good mood and you make a promise and you're like, oh yeah, we'll do that. We'll be there. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the day comes and we're like, motherfucker. You don't want to go. You don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, well, but no, if we make the effort and we show up or we do what we said we were going to do for 30 minutes or whatever, if we didn't go, we would feel bad for so much longer than it took to just do
it. Oh,
the
to
good
just
deed.
Do it, yeah.
You know what I
guilt.
Mean? Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Good. Yeah, I think guilt is.
We've had the conversation. It's I'll go because I'm the one who remembers things, believe it or not, most of the time.
Yeah.
It's what? You know, tomorrow's that thing with the guy, and is that tomorrow? Yeah, we should probably go do that. I don't want to do that. Is this correct?
How many times did I have to tell you what time my meeting was this morning?
Over 2 days?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say I have four.
Four. And then this morning, 10 minutes before I'm supposed to be at the meeting, he calls. He goes, "Did you get my text message? Did you see what happened? I said I gotta go, and I just hung up. And I knew he was mad, but it's like I already told you where I was.
Not
going.
Mad. I was not mad.
Oh, you were so full of it because I called and I called you back after the meeting and I said, "I love you. Are you okay?" That was the first thing I said.
You were mad. You were mad.
Yes. Let me tell you, and that goes a long way with a trickster. We all know that.
I think that's got to be like if it's a good relationship or like if I ever get in one of those again.
You know what though? When it's a good, not to get away from you, Greg. God knows I want to talk about you. But the thing is, when our relationship is great, mine and Jess's is great. It's absolutely the best.
Sure. Yeah.
But as these things are in life, when it's bad, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's the end of the fucking world. It's nuclear bomb time. It's, are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Oh.
Real low lows.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's not as often as it used to be, but it happens.
Then you're playing like a champion.
But play like a champion today.
You're playing
Greg.
Like a champion, I think.
Oh, start that Notre Dame crowd.
I don't like Notre Dame. They didn't offer me
Catholic.
I don't care. I went up there on a recruiting trip and they didn't offer me a dime. Let me tell you something. I never lost to one of those sons of bitches ever. Ever. I beat the Irish.
Greg, go.
Let me tell you this. Now you were 2-time state champion of the state of Missouri.
Thank you for pointing that out because
two timer.
You know
what weight class? 142.
Well,
what was it? Is that even a weight class?
Well, and it was at a time.
Pee-wee.
I won it at 138. You know, it's fine.
What we
you
just
can,
had
you know,
there,
you
ladies
can,
and gentlemen.
You know
was,
what? You can belittle
was,
my
that,
love life. You can
was,
belittle, you don't talk
psychic.
About my high school wrestling career. You shut your mouth, hooker. Okay?
That was psychic comedy is what that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were 2-time state champion of Missouri.
Yeah.
And I forget where we were. But you're at Notre Dame and you're playing like a champion. And
oh yeah, no, I went on a recruiting trip there my senior year, and they didn't offer me a dime.
They're not supposed to offer you money, are they? Or scholarship? Oh, there's scholarships.
Scholarship. Yeah.
Not like
not under
the table.
Table
no, it's
man.
Not like they bought him a car.
So basically, they said, "Hey, thanks for coming. Pat you on the butt and get out."
We have a tweet.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're gonna have some tweets now for Greg.
Okay. Yeah,
I remember to do that.
I go for it.
Okay. This is from Jared. Greg's going to enjoy this. Watch his face light up. Jared says, "Hey, Chick, just have Greg yell red alert.
Red alert.
To see if Wes Wesley shows up."
Yep, that's a wrestling character that I do.
Mm-hmm. A labor of love. For
a labor of love. And
young wrestlers.
Yeah, and nobody understands any of it outside of wrestling. It's a very inside stuff. But
who's the toughest guy you wrestled ever?
Well,
was it the Russian kid or the guy? Didn't you wrestle a Russian guy in college?
I think you're talking about Steve.
sure, that's not a movie.
Well, yeah.
Favorite wrestling movie? Got to be Vision Quest, right?
It's got to be Vision Quest.
Isn't
but
there
man,
only
Win
one?
Win was so good. Win
Win
was so good.
Win Win was good.
You know,
yes,
but
yes,
Vision
yes,
Quest
yes.
changed my life.
But that was
know?
Really about wrestling. Like Win Win had a side story and all kinds of
true.
Stuff.
That's true.
Vision Quest was about wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it had a side story about, you know.
Yeah.
So let's go back for a minute and talk your mom and your dad. And you have two brothers?
I have two brothers, yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah, Matt and Devin, yeah.
And your dad was a wrestling coach. That's all true.
Yeah,
this
that's all true.
True stuff.
Absolutely.
And were you expected to wrestle? Did you feel pressure? Did you?
No. I mean, I
was
think.
Was it that kind of a house where you lived in fear? Was it?
I mean, a little bit of fear. I think that's a healthy, you know what?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Really?
You should be a little bit afraid of your dad, or you're going to be one of those guys who says stupid things when he gets older.
So that's how you did that, huh?
Yeah. This is funny. Well,
we'll see.
Well, maybe not funny. I just undercut myself. It's probably not funny at all. I was talking to Birbiglia the other day, and we were doing...
Is that Mike?
Mike Birbiglia?
Yeah.
We were doing a tour date together, and he was telling about some intern he had that he just asked him a bunch of... maybe it wasn't an intern, but some kid that was doing some work for him, and he just kept asking questions about... like this questions that comedians get all the time.
Right.
Like this, you know, like, when did you first know you're funny? Did you ever have a funny thing happen on the road? Were you a cut
when,
up in
when
school?
When did you think you were funny?
Yeah, no. And it's just like this stuff that you've been asked on every bad newspaper.
What time you get up
newspaper.
In the morning?
Yeah, just every bad newspaper.
Are you guys high every morning?
Then Mike was like trying to work with the guy. And I just remember saying, like, didn't that guy have a dad that told him to shut up,
you know,
like, because that just, it's sometimes you need to learn when to shut up. And I think that,
as I've discussed on this podcast, the one thing my mother did for me was instilled in me the belief that I am in everyone's way and I need to get out of their way and be as small and tiny as possible and leave everyone alone if I can.
But with that, Chick has the ability to have an overwhelming presence without speaking or saying anything.
It is my superpower.
His mood can change.
Oh yeah.
A room
and if oh, yeah. And if I don't like you, it's not good.
Usually you know it.
And you know it.
Is it fair to say he has probably one of the most powerful sighs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just
get
that big, deep breath from him.
I was upstairs the other day.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 days ago, and I went...
That's the one.
And she goes... You okay? what's going on?
By she, he means the neighbor 3 doors down, actually.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, but the whole getting out of the way thing is, like, let's say there's turmoil within the show or with Jess. You're kind of like how Greg was talking earlier. Your brain's thinking awful things.
Oh, yeah.
So you just sigh and get quiet. And by doing that, you're out of the way.
And I shut down.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. I'm trying not to do that.
Yeah, your moods are pretty evident. Yeah.
Hey, we're not. This isn't interviewing Chick.
We're just saying.
I just saw something about my dad, and I was.
Was your dad like that? I think that's the hardest thing in the world to be a great parent.
My dad was a great parent.
Where's fear? Where's is it? What is it from a Bronx Tale? Would you rather be feared or respected?
But I think they're almost interchangeable with your dad.
Yeah, you should be a little bit afraid.
I think you should be a little bit afraid. A
and
little
maybe
bit.
Not physically afraid.
No, not physically afraid.
Afraid
just
of
like,
disappointing him.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. I agree.
And I was
agree.
Physically afraid. You know, I mean, yeah.
My kids tell me, and my kids are older now, they're 21 and 19.
I met your son.
There's one 32 or whatever. And they, all of them tell me, we could never tell what you were going to get mad at and what you were going to slide, but it always seemed like
it was always the inappropriate response.
Guessing.
I would let the big things slide, and then the little things I would just
my dad
lose
was like
my
that.
Mind
lose wearing shoes with no socks.
My dad was
pissed
like that. Yes,
him. Off.
My dad was like that.
Where the hell are your goddamn socks? Put some socks on, pal. Yeah. This ain't Miami Vice.
Oh my god!
What? What are you talking about? Shut your mouth. Meanwhile, my brother, you know, like literally, you could like he misses the bigger picture sometimes. I don't know. I still to this day, I've tried to write material about it. I've tried to think about it. I've tried like what. Why was that such a big deal? It just pissed him off.
No sock.
Who do you think you are? And then there was that time in the 80s when people wore their collars up. And
polo shirts.
Yeah, we were just talking about this.
Yeah. I did
John Riggins said he invented that.
Oh, did he?
Getting dressed after a game.
Didn't
have time to put his collar. Forgot it was up. And everybody started doing
He thinks he invented
it.
That?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
That's
know.
What he
Maybe.
Says.
One of my friends, Ron Morey, who's one of my favorite comics.
Ron Morey,
not Sean. Ron Morey.
Right, sure.
Ron
He's great, but he has a story about this friend of his. I think the guy's named Joey Scazzola or something, and who I think is a comic.
You're just making up words.
I'm saying he invent. You know that thing in the Billy Idol song where they go, "Get laid, get fucked."
Oh, yeah.
Everybody went to college.
Joey said that he invented that at a wedding in New Jersey.
Okay, two things. First of all, go back to your dad got upset about your socks.
No. That's okay. He would do the same thing, but if you'd take your shoes off, if you'd step on the back of your shoe to take
Oh my God.
Bought these school shoes, fresh white Nikes, and we come
wearing them down.
Yes. Oh my God. It made him crazy.
Did you say Nikes?
Nikes, fresh white Nikes. You know?
Well, everybody else says Nike, but.
You say Nikes? I remember like hearing a little kid say Nike, but never like a grown woman.
Okay, well, grammatically, that's how you would pronounce it.
Grammatically? There's no grammar that applies to a brand name. There's no grammar that applies to Nike.
I always heard it's Nike like bike, not Nike like bikey.
Right.
That's what I've heard, but everyone does say Nike.
It's Nike. That's how they get to choose how their brand name is promoted.
Okay.
Like, that's like grammatically you should be Jessica or something, but no, it's...
No, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Sorry, I'm yelling. Don't get all like that.
No, I knew. See, usually I would engage you, but
I know.
I'm not.
But now you're just. Now, yeah, I know. Now you make me feel like a jerk, man. When have you ever been that agreeable? Does she do these kind of head games all the time?
Every now and then. Yeah,
that was tricky, man. I was like all of a sudden feeling bad. Like, wait a minute.
And now
everybody has a friend that thinks they invented something, though, right?
Yeah, you said your friend invented.
Ron Mori's friend, Joey Scazzola, invented the
get laid, get fucked
at a wedding in Moni New Moni. Jersey.
In a wedding in New Jersey. That's
Billy
hilarious.
Idol, Moni Moni.
We had a friend, we called him Boner, and in sixth grade, he told us that he didn't invent it, but he brought back going to hell. When he said, "You tell somebody to go to hell.
When was it big?
I don't know. Like what are we, 11? Like when
was there like a layoff period?
I'm bringing go to hell back. Yeah. Okay.
It's always that.
Jimmy Pardo was trying to bring back Honest Injun for a while.
We say Honest Engine all the time.
That's because Jimmy brought it back.
But I think of a train just so, you know, for, you know, whatever.
The thing I was going to say about my dad, I was wanting to say, like, I just thought of this, because my dad, he's corny and he great heart.
How's he dress?
You know, not great.
Not like they do on Miami Vice.
Yeah. No.
Natural fibers or polyester?
He could care less.
A lot of plaid?
No. He doesn't.
High waist belt?
Wrestling? Oh, like the coach's shorts with the high waist?
Yeah. He did wear the red bike shorts all the time.
Yeah. The nut huggers?
He did wear those a lot. He wore those, like, my dad's the toughest man in the world. He wore those like... when he was a football coach, he wore the shorts in like below freezing weather.
He's
the only guy out there with shorts on. And when he was a football coach. But I had this thing that, like he had a sense of humor, but a real weird coach sense of humor. Like my friend Sean O'Neill was dating Laura Kramer when we were on the wrestling team. Laura Kramer was the... She was hot. She was a senior. Sean was a junior.
That's
she
awesome.
She was hot. Sean was
Sean
not like...
Sean must have been...
Yeah.
He wasn't... Game. He was a little bit of a nerdy guy. Like,
really?
Like all of us were like a little bit nerdy.
He must have had a big old pecker.
Nobody knew why. I don't... Well, we wrestled together, so at the weigh-in, I can't remember anything specific. The only guy I can say that about is Larry Pickett, definitely.
Fair enough.
Larry Pickett definitely
huge.
Did. Huge. Yeah. Sean was dating Laura Kramer. Nobody could figure out, but everybody was like... So we were checking our weights before the Ledoux match, and my dad, you know, before we get on the bus, he wants to check everybody's weight, make sure they're on weight.
Got to make weight.
Yeah, and
got to run and spit. Got to make weight.
Yeah, and somebody goes, what? My dad's like, Sean's where's Sean? Where is Sean? I need to check his weight. So I'm like, I don't know, Coach. I saw him in the hallway with Laura Kramer. My dad goes, I'll Laura Kramer him. No, I can't figure out if that's really funny.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's just funny to us or not. Yeah, I don't know.
I can't figure that's funny that he's funny or that's funny because you're making fun of him. And I don't like making fun of my dad a lot, but sometimes I do.
Everything's popping into my head. Right? Was that unbelievably tough and awkward being the coach's kid? I mean, but I guess you crossed the line though because you were very good. I mean. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, the two had a definite relationship with each other. You know, being good had a relationship with him pushing me.
I mean, you got the guy out there who's, they name him Wacky, and he's not real smart. He's the coach's kid, and he's the quarterback.
Yeah, then my dad would not have put pressure on me if I hadn't. But my dad, you asked me if there was like expected to wrestle in the household. Or like, no, he definitely introduced me to it when I was younger, and I loved it. From the time I was 5 years old, I loved it. It was my favorite.
Were you the only one of your brothers who took to it like that?
Yes, definitely. I mean, my brother Devin took to it a little bit. My brother Matt didn't like it. They were both better athletes. They played other sports. Like, they were good at, they played soccer in college.
Things with a ball.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I didn't have that kind of stuff.
Right.
Not balls.
But, just ball. Thanks. Singular.
Like the guy with the big pecker. What was his name?
Larry Pickett.
Pickett's
Becker. Wasn't that the Civil War? Pickett's Becker? I forgot. Never mind.
So, Greg, would you?
I don't know.
I don't know what just happened.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It was tough. It wasn't tough being the coach's kid.
Well, you know, what I want to say was once I did commit to doing it and I got good at it, he was going to not let me give it anything but everything.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, then it's like, okay, you're in. You know, you're going to give it everything, and you're not going to quit on the count.
I can't imagine it because my parents were non-existent as far as from, and I think that's fair. I'm going over that statement in my head, and I think that's non-existent may be strong, but they were certainly casual.
Detached.
There you go.
Yeah,
from first grade until senior in high school, I played football starting in seventh grade.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah,
and through high school. And I didn't start, but we were almost state champs in our division, in our class for our football team. So we had a very good team. But I was second string, but I was still but I tell myself in my head I was second string on a really good team. So maybe if I'd been on
Well, yeah, you told me that you guys used to go down to that restaurant and eat before the show.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Yeah.
Game.
The coach came up with that and built, you know.
You guys were good too, right?
We were very good. And but my parents made it to one game.
My last
game as a senior. So I don't know what it would be like to have, because I'm sure he did extra coaching at home with
from the time. I mean, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
Even so much as my senior year, I ran cross country for like 3 years.
No kidding.
In the fall.
How'd you keep your weight on running cross country? And
you don't want you.
That's
want
the thing.
Weight.
He wanted off. That's why he did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you could eat anything you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So my senior year, I decided I'm going to play football. I'm going to have some fun. Well, my dad was a football coach. He was the defensive coordinator. Okay. And I mean, we had a really good team. Not the year I played, but we had a historically good team.
Mm-hmm.
And
you brought the whole team down.
I couldn't be in the backfield. I mean, these guys were really, really fast. I'm not fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to play defense because I didn't want him to coach me. So,
but that would have been natural. Your instincts in wrestling.
Yes, exactly. I think it would have been a decent, like either like strong safety or nose guard, or you know, maybe you know, like linebacker. I'm not that fast, but I think I would have been able to do some of that. Well, I couldn't do any of that because I did not want that man coaching me for two sports. You know, it was for both of us. You know, so what they did is they made me a center, and I was like 140 and like 5'9". Well, guess what, my dad. He was a defensive coordinator, so he would put Delbert Miller at nose guard every time when I was getting snaps. Delbert was he benched like literally he was the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
Benched all of it.
He did. He benched the whole stack. Yeah, all of it. And when put it up, he's got it.
Right.
Ran like a 4.4 40, like a super athlete.
Oh.
And he would, and my dad and Coach Washington, Sharon Washington, that's your job, son. That's your job.
You're snapping the ball.
That's what you're supposed to do, son. You make a block, make a tackle, make a touchdown, then we're going to shake your hand. Otherwise, that's what you're supposed to do. You don't need no accolades. So that's Coach Washington. He was on the offense.
Right.
So, in practice one day, Delbert just literally came. He was just blowing me up. I'm just dying. And and Coach Washington, your dad fucking with you, son. Your dad fucking with you. Your dad fucking with you. That man bench pressed 380 pounds. You bench press 140 pounds. No, coach, whatever. You don't bench
You don't bench all of it.
380, he bench all of it.
I saw Delbert bench all of it.
Delbert bench, that man, he faster than you. Here's what you need to do, son. Here's what you need to do. You need to take your head and put it in that man's crouch. What, excuse me? Take your head and put it in that man's crouch. That's what you're supposed to do, son. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
That's your job.
Oh, God.
You know, that like that whole that's your job? Like, that's definitely football
coaching. Oh, that's so coaching.
You don't need no accolades. You make a block, make a tackle, make a touchdown, then we going to shake your hand.
Right. That's
otherwise, that's what you're supposed to do. I was just like, I even if you did do all that, I don't think you would still get any accolades. Coach, I made a block and a tackle and a touchdown. That's your job, son.
That's your job.
You make a block, make a tackle, make a touchdown, graduate high school, graduate college, go to Congress, introduce legislation that reforms the healthcare system, then we gonna shake your hand. Then we gonna shake your hand. Hey, coach, I actually
did all that.
I ran for Congress. I'm 50 now, and I introduced this. Did you make a block and a tackle and a touchdown? Well, no, I'm 50. I mean, we don't play. That's your job, son. That's what you're supposed to do.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, Coach Washington. Yeah, your dad fucking with you, son. That, like that, if you want to know my dad, that's describes it. But I will say, in college, it was rough because he still tried to kind of, he was very, very much a fan and very supportive of me in college. But still, early on in college, he kind of was like coaching me too much and way too much in it. And then at some point, he just backed off and became like my biggest fan and my biggest supporter. And I still remember, I almost get like a tear in my eye because I remember like Oklahoma City, my sophomore year, I was at the Nationals. I qualified for the NCAA tournament, the Division I Nationals. And, you know, it was kind of a long shot to get there. I got there and I won like my first two matches. And then I think in the round of 16, I was going to go against Brian Dolph from Indiana. And everybody in the place knew I was going to get my ass beat. Like I, you know, like we can all say, nah, you give it your best shot. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's what I say. But I think we all know the score here. Yeah. So I remember like going out there. I was scared and I was just nervous and just like, boy, I'm in. And I just remember hearing my dad, there was like 13,000 people and I could hear my dad like yelling, you know, go get him, buddy. Like you got him. You like, go. Like I remember like, wow, that's not like my, that's my dad. He's got my back. Like, and no matter what happens here, like I, you know, like my dad. And then I just thought of another funny thing. We were wrestling in Vegas and, I was at this big Vegas Open and I got off the match and my coach, our assistant coach Whalen, you know, I didn't have a very good match, but I won. I beat some guy from Clemson. He's like, nice match, Warren. Not as good as your dad, though, actually. He punched a guy in the stands. I'm like, what? Yeah, apparently there's some guy like that that was trying to film up there, and he's like, hey, buddy, get out of the way. I'm trying to film. My dad's like, it's no problem. I need to watch my son. I'm going to go out here and watch my son this one match. And then, yeah, buddy, whatever. Get out of the way. Next thing you know, my dad knocked him out.
Him out. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
He's like, yeah, nice match, but not as good as your old man.
Go back to your, as Chick said before, you were two-time state
champion. A little less, Jason.
Two-time state champ.
I'm teasing.
When you won, that had to be pretty cool. What sort of emotions did you have with your dad at that time? Because obviously he's very proud of you, and there's got to be a mutual something going on.
I mean, I did something really stupid the first state championship that I've never talked about. But
this sounds horrible.
I know. No, it's. But you know what? There was a guy that was a really good friend of our family's, Jim McLaughlin, who's a wrestling official. And
you went over and yelled in your face?
No, like I went over. I shook his hand before I shook my dad's hand, and
you still regret that.
And I think I didn't mean it that way, and I know he took it the wrong way because I remember him mentioning that. And I think I did it just because I think it was like
proximity.
Nobody knew that's amazing that anybody would go over and shake an official's hand.
Right.
You know? He was like my buddy and my supporter. And as a kid, sometimes you forget that it's a lot easier to be somebody's buddy and supporter than it is to be their dad.
Sure, sure.
You know, and I regret that. And I remember, I think, like, he never said a word to him. I think my mom said it to me at some point. Yeah. And then my senior year, I remember, you know, I gave him a big hug and, you know, I, you know, it was awesome. I mean, that was really fun. You know, there's a picture of us, like, I think when I won, of him putting the medal around, and there's like a smile.
That goes back to your, you know, that respect that earned. Like, you have that with your dad, and it's like from being a kid, you're always like, what am I going to do next to really make my dad happy and to make my dad proud?
Yeah, and where is the right line on that? Yeah. You know, I don't know.
So you two are normal. I have nothing to compare any of this to because it was more a brother-sister
Yeah,
for my mom and dad.
What's normal?
We were definitely the same maturity level, mm-hmm. but we were pretty close in age. I mean, my mom had me when I was 17 or whatever. So
right.
when she was, 35, I was 17, and mm-hmm. it was like, sure. Not only am I 17, but I'm pretty sure I'm smarter than both of you. And it was just horrible yeah. shit going in my head.
Yeah.
And it was bad. And I, I wish. I'm very envious of you that you have that relationship.
Yeah,
it's
as you get older, it's extremely fortunate, man. Yeah. You realize that it's yeah. like, I just figured, like, not only did I not realize that not everybody has that, I thought I was getting screwed. Like, I mean, I remember growing up, you think, like, oh man, my parents, I don't get mm-hmm. to do this, I don't get to do right. that. They're, they don't understand me. My mm-hmm. dad's yelling at me, and, but then you realize, man, like, there's so many people that are so fucked up, and it's because. A lot of it's because of their parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's rarely that way. So yeah.
So Greg, did your dad ever, or did you ever find out that your dad was maybe doting on you or bragging on you to yeah. other people? Did you ever hear about it?
Yeah, yeah. His friends told me that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
That was one of the best times.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah.
In my life, my senior year in high school, and I was probably in the best shape I'd ever been in.
Yeah.
And I was a senior, so on the football team, no matter how shitty you are. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry, but there is a picture of Chick when he was in high school, and he wore, you remember those knit practice jerseys?
74,
the half thing?
And he did the half thing, belly out and everything.
Really?
Yes, he did.
What year was that?
Oh, yeah. 75?
That is the 1975, though.
You're talking about those shorts that your dad wore. All my coaches wore those.
Did they? Yeah.
Those double knit shorts.
You wore the mesh half shirt?
Yes, with like he did. The belly with nothing shirt? Under it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's what you did. Okay.
No, you did do that because I remember seeing my dad's football players when I was a little kid. I'd go and see those guys. Yeah.
Anyway, our practice field in London was right across from the factory that my dad worked at, so he could look out the window and watch his practice.
Wow.
And I'd like to think he did it all the time, and maybe he did. I don't know. But,
right.
I succeed in spite of myself. I really didn't take it as seriously as I should have, because I was, 6'4", 240, and I could have,
yeah.
At the high school level, if I would have really, but I just thought it was, I had fun, and I'd make jokes on the bus and to and from the games, and
right.
that's where I got my enjoyment, and I didn't right. really take it very seriously, but my dad used to call me Bruiser, because I was so not a bruiser. I was that size.
Really?
But I wasn't,
oh, that's funny,
I didn't
man.
Really.
Right.
That's I didn't
really, so you got some of that.
I didn't bring it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he, but neither did he. I mean, he.
Your dad was a tiny
but
man.
Tell me,
he was a tiny little guy.
Yeah. You're saying that there's a memory, though, of him, like, was it him bragging about, or just that he was watching?
Yeah, a coworker of his came up to me and said, so your name's Bruiser, huh? And my dad had never called me that in front of anybody, so
right?
I knew that he must have been talking
about
it.
Oh, yeah, that's Bruiser out there. That's pretty awesome, man.
That was kind of a cool thing.
Look at him there standing.
In his half jersey.
In his half jersey.
Cracking jokes. With my black spot-built cleats and, what was the name of those helmets?
Rydell?
Pony?
Might have been.
Rydell, yeah.
Might have been, yeah, might have been Rydell. No, we didn't have ponies yet. Ponies were just coming in when I was leaving.
Really?
Oh,
spot
man.
Built. That's what
ponies, yeah.
Ponies came in. Yeah.
Let's fast forward to Greg now. He made the big move a year ago.
Oh, God, that's right. You live in New York now.
New York City.
What is that, Nassau County?
No.
That's not Nassau County.
Yeah, New York County.
New York County.
Yeah,
New York,
Manhattan
New York.
County, New York County, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Manhattan, buddy. I live Lower
East
Side.
Lower East Side.
Lower East Side.
East Side.
Yeah.
350 square feet. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The apartment hunting process was really. It's hard.
Especially for you. I'm guessing you might be pretty picky.
Well, I mean, maybe a little bit.
Really?
Jess
is shaking her head no, yeah. like you're not picky.
She's shaking you off?
She's shaking
no,
me
I'm
off.
No, I don't think you would be picky.
Not totally.
You've eaten with him, right?
I've eaten with him, but you know what? His environment, his living environment, it's a little different than his picky eating.
Yeah, but if you go from the Midwest, where you get a lot of bang for your buck, and you go to New York and you don't, I'm guessing you're like, what the heck, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew a lot of that going in, but man, first of all, you have to get a broker basically to find you an apartment. That's pretty much the only way to do it.
Or you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
That's really hard. It's really rare. Yeah.
No Craigslist or anything?
You call Craigslist, they're brokers.
Are you serious?
Yes. They'll say not brokers, they're brokers.
No way.
So you, and a broker charges you 1 month rent off the top, nothing.
What?
Just for taking the call.
$2,000 Just if they get you the apartment. Wow. Whoever gets your apartment, basically, out of pocket, you're gonna pay 1 month's rent, then you're going to pay first and last month's rent and a security deposit. So it's like $8,000.
They're like the club booker of real estate.
Yeah.
It's, like they're really not necessary, but...
Well, by the way, if you'd like to book Chick McGee on the road, contact Jess.
What is she doing, man? Does she understand how I make my living?
Oh, sorry.
I'm sort of right there with you,
yeah,
brother.
But geez. No, and the thing is, like, they don't tell you. You'll call them up and be like, hey, I want to see this place I saw. And sometimes they're fake places. You know, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's taken, but I've got this other place I'll show
you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... And they'll never tell you, hey, meet me at the place, because then you kind of don't need them. So they'll say, meet me on the corner of 52nd and Lexington, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll go meet them. And it's New York City, because there's like hundreds of people on the corner.
So you met at a Starbucks.
It would be like on the street corner. Oh. Like they just meet me on the corner. And I would say the Starbucks, just meet me on the corner. And then I'd show up there. And then within seconds, are you Greg? I'm like, do I look like that much of a hayseed? Like that I just got off the bus from St. Louis.
Happy
to be here in the big city. Let me put my farm animals down and I'll shake your hand.
It's a hillbilly boy.
Yeah, like it was, I guess I just looked that like fresh, whatever.
That's funny.
Why did you move to New York? Why do comedians go to New York and L.A.?
He'd already been to L.A.
Yeah.
Can't you do what you, I thought you were doing, I thought. You were doing fine living
in
St.
Louis.
I
thought you were doing pretty good.
I thought you had it made.
Yeah. Just needed a new challenge. And there is a certain amount.
Why am I doing this podcast? Same thing, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that there's a certain amount of... I tried to have a regular life, you know, like hobbies and all that crap and relationships.
Do you really just want to sit and write jokes and go see other guys perform and hang out with comedians? And
no, but I also know that a lot of my life, I like doing stand-up comedy, and there's a lot of it in New York. So, and I think that it's a different kind of stand-up comedy than on the road. It's short 10-minute sets. In between guys that are killing, you know, going up after Nick Griffin, that's really, really funny. And, you know, like literally like really funny guys that you're going up in between. So you got to bring it. And it forces you to develop a different muscle. And that muscle sometimes lends itself to television. And then there's also, you know, a lot more industry in New York and L.A. So if you do want to do some more TV, you know, after a while, your name just gets around.
The Greg Warren Show? Is that what we're...
No.
You don't want a sitcom?
No danger. I don't... I mean, if you want to hand me one, yeah, but I don't think I am in the running of it right now, and I'm not sure I want to do what it takes to try to do that and divert away from what I really want to do, and that's get better as a stand-up comic. I can't even say the word that I do. That would be the first order of business.
I'm a biz zapper.
I want to be better.
You're a beekeeper? Yes, I'm a beekeeper.
Stand-up comedier. I want to get better at that. So, and I think New York will make me better. I think I've gotten to this level where I'm like, I'm pretty good, and I'd really like to get really good, and I think I need to...
Wait a minute. This is big news. Do you think you're pretty good, seriously?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think I'm pretty good.
For him, that's unbelievable for him to say that out loud.
I don't think I'm great, but I think I'm pretty good.
See, you're doing it already.
When did you hit that? Because you got a special on Comedy Central,
yeah,
right?
I don't know.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't even know. That was definitely important to me.
Yeah.
Now that I look back of it, it's not like I look at him like, this is not my favorite performance ever, but it's just, I don't know, it meant something to me to get, I really wanted to do that. I'd love to do Letterman. I've never done Letterman.
You haven't done Letterman, really?
No, I haven't.
Conan?
No, I've done Ferguson.
Ferguson, that's what I thought.
Ferguson. Yeah, and you know, I just, I don't know. I think I want to get better. So, what was I talking? Oh, the New York.
Moving to New York.
Yeah, the first lady I had is one of those brokers. This lady named Gloria, and she's like kind of Jewish. I don't know, like 60, something like that. And Gloria takes us to the first place. You know, after I meet her on the corner, and we can't get in to the building. So she's pushing buttons on the outside. They all
just like you see in the movies. They push a bunch of buttons and somebody opens the door.
Well, they like it's an intercom thing. So mm-hmm. she's pushing the buzzer and we can't get in because the manager's not there. Hello, is anybody there? So I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, let's just go. You know. So what she decides to do is she pushes every button. Of everybody that lives in the place. Hello. Like, Gloria, let's make sure that we systematically piss off every one of my prospective neighbors. Hello, could some? I'm like, can we just leave? Because you could tell.
Hey, you're the one who woke me up 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I could tell there were old people that lived there. Right. And you know those people. That's the only thing they would ever remember about me. I could live there for 20 years. Yep. You're the buzzer guy. Yeah, Frank, that was a long time ago. No, you're the buzzer.
No, Frank, we've had lunch, Frank. Come
quit
on.
Quit with the buzzers. Ruth, I just saw the buzzer guy. I think he was on his way to push some more buzzers.
You tell him, okay, I got to go now. All right, be sure and hit the buzzer.
Yeah,
on
hit
your
the
way
buzzer
out.
On the way. Oh, I don't have to remind you to do that. Buzzer guy. Frank, I saved you in a fire. Whatever.
Thanks, buzzer guy.
Yeah, whatever, buzzer. I would have rather you just didn't press the buzzers. So I can't get in. And then I'm like, all right, well, can we just leave now? And then and then the mail carrier kind of stops like by or whatever. And she's like, Gloria's like got this idea like, hey, could you let us in? Could you let us in? I see you have keys to this place. Could you let us in? I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. Yeah. You know? And she goes, no, ma'am, I can't do that. And Gloria tries to make a power play. She goes, what if I showed you my broker's license? I don't think that's going to put us over the top there, Gloria. I know that you you place a lot of value on that piece of paper you got mm-hmm. there. I'm sure you went to some sort of 3-week real estate class to get that piece of paper. I'm sure there's like a brochure that said "Unlock Your Future" on the front. That was more of a metaphor, Gloria. I don't think that we're getting
wasn't
in.
Actually, have and, a key.
And then the mail carrier goes, "Ma'am, in order for you to get into this place, you would have to show me a piece of paper from the President of the United States." I'm like, all right, now you're just as delusional as Gloria. Like, I get it. You work for the federal government, and Barack is in charge of the government, but I'm betting there's a few levels of middle management in between you and Obama.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
We've got some tweets for you here, Greg, if you'd like to answer some questions.
How is this happening?
From our Twitter audience.
We're not live. I don't understand the technology.
I tweeted
shut up, Greg.
A couple hours ago, and then they tweeted some stuff. And
of course, okay.
The standard, where's your flute, Greg? Let's see.
It was actually a clarinet. And,
oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
exactly
and
right.
I don't have it. Well, I do keep one. That's the first time I've answered that question.
Do you travel with one?
Back when you and I did the
no, I know you
did
now,
the tour.
Do you have one now?
No. We did a lot of stuff that was just tour.
Okay.
Chick and I did some little special. We took our pants off and ran around stage a couple times.
I have a video of that.
Were you there that night? One time you were.
One time I was there.
Yeah, that was some good stuff.
Man, that one place was a big hall, and I was not doing well.
I almost had a heart attack that one. Yeah, that was bad. Yeah.
This is from Josh. Ask Greg what the best place is in St. Louis for affordable hand jobs to give, not receive. Please don't confuse me.
Okay. I'm seriously trying to answer the question. I don't know why, but I'm trying to understand the question.
No, there are probably aren't any. Well, there probably are places, but he was kidding.
To go give a hand job?
That's what it sounded like he said.
No, it says affordable hand jobs, giving. To give, not receive.
So,
yeah, you're exactly
so he's
right.
Kind of like blood. You a place to go give right. blood.
There you go.
Get something for it. Mm-hmm. Go give a...
Is there...
You get crackers and apple juice after that hand job?
There's a cookie.
You know, if they donated semen that way, I think it would go a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having to do it yourself. Dear Greg, would you wrestle Tom for charity?
I'll tell you what, chick. I have two speeds: stop and go. So if I'm going,
that's right. You don't stop until
I'm putting the old man down.
Hey, we did get an email that asked, did you have a go-to move when you knew you had a guy down, and you're like, all right, it's time to put him away.
The leg Szeski is this thing on top. When I got on top,
slow down.
The leg Szeski. It's named after a guy named Tim Szeski.
Okay.
And you would basically.
He's not the one with the big pecker, right?
That was Larry Pickett.
Right.
Yeah. And that you basically, imagine basically you're kind of bowing a guy backwards, so you make his head meet his foot.
Oh.
Yeah, that was
The Sezeski.
Yeah, wow. That was the last move I ever did in my career.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you ever get like swept up in the bedroom and you realize you like have kind of done one of those like weird wrestling things where you got her like your arm around her neck and next thing you know she's in a half Nelson and
I can see the half Nelson thing if you're
watch it.
Behind.
My well, I, you know,
just a yes or no, Greg. Really?
I'm gonna see. I'm trying to treat these things respectively.
I totally understand.
My ex-girlfriend used to like, you know, used to think she could wrestle me.
Oh yeah. So you'd have to show her what's up.
I'm like, do you know what I do? I did like for like mm-hmm. all the time. So yeah, I could immobilize her.
But she was Russian. She probably whipped your ass just like by genetics.
Yeah, no. Girls aren't as strong.
Well, there's less muscle.
Yeah.
It's just the truth, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll take all you motherfuckers right now.
Yeah, the thing is you won't.
But wrestling's like anything else. I mean, when you get really good at it, I mean, are you doing stuff that you've been trained to do and you're not even aware of your...
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It?
Yeah. Just like
it's for all muscle
yeah,
memory.
Broadcasting, you do things right. You have no idea that you're doing, that you just naturally
no,
do.
No, I don't know anything about
yes,
that.
Yes. Yeah.
What about if you got, have you got mugged in New York City yet? Like, I would love to be there with
aren't
you if
you
got mugged.
Aren't you waiting? Aren't you walking down the street with money hanging out of your pocket?
Bring it. Here's the thing. I'm 44 now. It's not something that I can do anymore that
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but it would click for
you.
Don't
get
you
tired.
Think,
you get real tired.
It's like Jason Bourne when they tried to arrest him in the park. He didn't know what he was doing either. They put that nightstick in his face and wham, 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 wham.
Yeah, yeah.
He walked away.
Speaking of movies.
Yeah. A sadder version of that.
I know that you watch about as many movies as Chick does.
Yeah.
I like movies.
Yeah, you guys are on
the
same
page.
So
movies,
there was a small disagreement in the car today on the way here regarding Chick's boy crush is Ryan Reynolds, mm-hmm. and he married Blake Lively.
Which I'm very disappointed in.
And I said,
pretty girl.
Blake Lively, I just keep thinking of her as the character she plays in The Town. Are you with me?
The blonde girl in The Town.
She the main girl in The Town?
No.
Oh, she was a slutty one.
Yes.
Jeremy Renner's
okay.
Sister.
Yeah.
And the baby.
And her baby, who was her baby's dad?
In the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know, right? Chick thought it was Ben Affleck.
It's Ben Affleck.
No, it's not.
You know what? I remember wondering that, but I don't think that's the case.
I'm pretty sure it's
I think she didn't know who the dad was.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
See?
Am I on Jess's side on this one?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Uh-oh. I think you are, and that's okay.
Uh-oh.
You think?
I don't know. I saw the movie, but I don't remember the...
Chick watches it every
I could
time
care
it's
less
on.
About the kid. I mean, honestly, it's kind of...
Yeah, it's just a baby, Jason.
Yeah, it's just a baby.
Yeah.
It's a story. It's a bigger story than a baby.
It's just a stupid baby.
Stupid baby.
I'm gonna have to go with Jess on this one.
All right, fair enough.
But I don't have a lot of conviction about it.
Would you like to talk about Jess's tan right now?
Oh my God! Speaking of, I wiped on a tan at home, and I just did this. You can't put deodorant on because it'll mess your tan up. If you, God, Greg, it's nasty.
It's a cat box.
Yeah. I don't want to think that about you.
You don't.
That's like
she
really
does this all the time.
The most
unsexy thing. Pretty girl. I don't want to think about that. Don't do that.
I wiped it on.
It's a mitt. It's like an oven mitt, and it's absorbent.
Like an oven glove?
It is like an oven glove.
It's exactly
the tan stuff
glove.
Is you use an oven glove?
It comes with
I'm
its own
I'm constantly
glove.
Looking on Amazon
and
for new self-tanners.
That's not true. That's not true. I got a new self-tanner, and it goes on, and I looked like the Incredible Hulk, and so I was like, Google this and see if this has gone bad or if it's supposed to look like this.
She did turn an alarming shade
of
green. Yeah.
It was like Hulk green.
But
I think you look good now.
She tanned right up.
I know. This is like...
She looks good.
I think it's a sweet potato color. I know, but it'll...
I've always thought of you as like...
But it's...
I know what you think of me.
Jeez, those eyes.
You know what?
Wow.
That really escalated.
I did. I know. I wanted to confess to something.
The only thing after I know what you think of me is fuck you.
That's it.
I know what you think of me.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, she goes for the jugular. She goes right for it.
What the hell was that all about? You okay?
No, it's just back when we used to travel together, Greg would give me a hard time.
Oh, I've got the best Greg Warren story ever.
Are you being serious?
We're on the road.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are, but we're at the world's smallest airport.
Yeah.
You're on the plane.
I'm on the plane.
Greg's on the plane.
Zany.
Bob Zaney's on the plane.
Yes.
And I'm not making this up. You guys back me up. I have a tendency to exaggerate, but not in this case. We're sitting in a plane, and there's one row on each side.
It may have been the oldest plane I've ever been in.
It was old and small.
It
was tubular. It was like it was army plane.
And there was no padding or upholstery or anything on the walls. It was just steel, and it was just a big
and
tube.
And you could see the weld marks and
you
everything.
You could see the tube.
Like it's,
and there were like maybe,
Farmington, New Mexico, I think we were going
there
to.
There may be like 14.
That's
there
possible.
Were, there were like seven rows, and by seven rows, I mean seven seats down one side and seven seats down the other. And there were, I think, three seats in the back.
Yeah.
One, two, three. And Warren's sitting in the back.
Oh, God.
And it's me and you and
Zany.
Zany.
And Patty. And I think Patty was with us.
Patty Vasquez.
Yeah.
Was Nick there?
I don't know.
I don't think Nick was there.
I see Nick Griffin for some reason. Anyways,
Maybe Han.
But it might have been Greg Hahn. So we're sitting there on the plane, and there are, as we call them, civilians on the plane, okay? And they don't know they're with a traveling comedy troupe. So
Bob had it with me by this point.
Bob is like, Bob,
you'd given away half of his merchandise the night before.
Back up. Bob and Warren fight. Bob Zaney and Warren pick at each other when they're on the road. Like
Zaney asked for it, though.
Speaking of going straight for the jugular, Greg throws his, like, gives his stuff away at the merch table. And you know how Bob feels about merch. Yeah.
After the show, we're at the merch table, and you hear Warren go, you get two CDs, you get a third one free and a bobber and four t-shirts and stuff like that. And Zany's losing his mind because people are hearing it and coming over and he's trying to explain. So they've been fighting, and I think Zany was in front of me, I was seated, and then Jess was behind me, and Greg Warren's in the back, and there are like, there's this older lady, maybe, I don't know, 50, 55, 60.
Yeah. A little uptight.
I bet it was like 20 seats on the plane, seriously.
If that.
And she's sitting there, and she's visibly upset and nervous, as we all should have
been.
We
all were a little nervous.
That we're about ready to take off in this, quote, plane, unquote. So Warren, sensing the tension, is sitting back there, and all of a sudden I hear, yeah, you know who really changed the world as far as rock and roll goes? Buddy Holly. That's who was the best. Buddy Holly.
Oh, God.
Leonard Skinner was good.
Yep.
Bob, who was in the plane with Buddy Holly?
the big bopper.
The big bopper was what? Shut up, Greg.
And this woman is like looking around.
Oh,
wondering,
no.
Oh,
Did not think it was funny.
And the more uncomfortable it got, the more the laughing boys started.
Zany didn't think it was funny, and she didn't think it was funny.
Bob was like,
I got big laughs out of Chick and Jess.
We were all laughing. So we get off the plane, and Zany comes up to me and goes, what the fuck's his problem? Why would he do that? So I don't know half
but
the time.
But Zany says that almost every time we're with Greg.
The last time we were at some state fair, and there's a kid that was like five, no, probably four or something, or three. I don't know how the kid's older.
I don't know how to judge her age.
This kid was at the merch table while his parents were buying stuff, and he couldn't talk really, but he had his hand open. He just had his hand open, and he was just like making his hand opening and closing.
Yeah.
And I put like three Bob Zaney CDs in his hand, and he clamped down and took them, and Bob went fucking apeshit. God, Greg, I'm like, just take him back. I can't fucking take him back. He's a kid. He just takes my CDs and starts throwing them to everybody. Here, have a Greg Warren CD. Have a Greg Warren CD. He was so pissed.
Oh, and another Greg Warren story. We're all out to dinner after a show one night. And I think it's pretty much the same crew. I don't know if this happened on this. They all kind of run together.
Was this when you ate my burger?
No, it wasn't me that ate your burger. So we're sitting there, and
I know where we were. We were in Southern Indiana at that Irish bar that's connected to the hotel.
Yeah, so it was me and you and Mike McCray and Scott Dunn.
Uh huh.
It was traumatic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the time Mike McCray called me Grandpa. Anyway, you get up to go to the bathroom, and Jess reaches over and grabs your cheeseburger and takes a big honking bite out of it. And you come back and just start laughing.
Yeah, I did. I thought, didn't you take the rap for it, though?
No. Do you still think
you thought he did it?
Right to this point?
I thought you did it. I thought you did it.
No, it was her.
I think that's when you were dating unannounced and you were taking the rap for her. And you were very protective of her.
That's probably true.
You were taking, yeah. I was the last guy to know that you guys were dating.
Well, I don't think it was on purpose, Greg. I think you were just a little.
It's like they make a list. All right, who do we tell next?
Yeah.
You know, who should I know?
Because somebody was like, well, you know, Chick and Jess. I'm like, what?
I think that was me that said that.
I remember, what?
Everything started making sense.
And then my last favorite Greg Warner story is that Greg is performing at this weekend, the weekend that I'm talking about.
I'm trying to make this less confusing.
He was at the Columbus Funny Bone.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at Jess and I said, you know what? We should go over and surprise Greg at the Columbus Funny Bone.
Oh, that's right.
That was so cool, man.
Yeah.
And they do that, by the way. They are the coolest people, like the coolest couple when you're on the road somewhere and you're just about done with comedy and whatever. And then you just look out in the audience and it's like you see them. Like they do that to a lot of people and it's the coolest thing.
And you hear his laugh.
It's
very infectious.
It's just cool, man, to see him. Yeah.
And then, anyway, we're walking down the street and you were on the opposite side of the street and you just stopped and pointed. And what are you guys doing here?
It was like a fake city mall.
It was a fake city.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was also the weekend that Ryan Dalton thought we were stalking him because we showed up.
We didn't know that he was featuring for you.
That was right. Yeah.
And we had just been where he was like the
Louisville,
weekend before.
I think, or somewhere like
my
that.
Favorite thing to do when Chick shows up is like I'll get on stage and you know, a lot of times it's a big Bob and Tom market.
Sure.
Like I've done it. I mean, Columbus, we did it. I did it in Bloomington one time and they went crazy. But I'll get done with my show and I'll be like, you guys, Bob and Tom fans, of course, everybody's going crazy. And I'm like, you know, they give me a lot of trouble about, you know, being not good with girls or whatever. And, you know, and I understand Bob, you know, and Tom, you know, those guys are, it's their show. They're older. I should, you know, show some respect. And Christy, I guess I get it. I mean, she's a girl and she, you know, I know she has a good heart, but I can't fucking believe Chick McGee does this shit to me. Like, who is he? And then Chick will just walk on stage behind me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, hey. And then the place goes apeshit when he shows up to a gig unannounced.
That's when I do best when I surprise people.
They go crazy, man. It's my favorite thing in the world to see when the crowd just, and it's that gradual recognition where it starts to build.
No way. And then they're like, what?
He's here. Yeah. He's fucking here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like the Martian New Palestine. Same things happen.
Right. Yeah.
That can't be him back at the meat counter, is it?
What?
That happened. Yeah.
That's where we live, Greg, New Palestine.
Oh.
That's okay. That you haven't come to visit or anything.
Or anything, and we've like surprised you. Like,
oh yeah, Tommy saw the shoe room.
That was the other house, Greg. Thanks though.
Wow, it really got awkward. Good job, Greg.
This is my house.
Oh, and then
this
another
is my house.
Not in my house. Pop that jersey. When I used to introduce Greg on the road.
That was bullshit. Man.
That was funny though.
I'd be honest.
I had your blood, but I'd go up and I.
Not the first time you did not. No, you did not. Don't say the bullshit if you had my blessing.
Here's how good Greg is, and how much people love Greg.
Sure.
This is like the Maudlin show over all of a sudden.
First of all, you did not have my blessing the first time you did this.
Not the first time, because I was there.
Yeah. I did whatever I did, you know, whatever I do, and. You know, people love me. And then I go, ladies and gentlemen, here's the worst comedian I've ever seen, Greg Warren.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes up and there's some people going.
You did then another time.
Oh,
This is his very first time on stage.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Very first time.
He's from Belarus?
Yes, Belarus. So I go out there. He's first time. I don't know. Like, I did my act, and it was going fine. And then I got to one of those moments in my act where I was like, I started over a word like I do all the time. And I took a pause, and some guy goes, "Don't worry, buddy. It's your first time."
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, it's your first time, buddy. Don't worry about it. I was like, motherfucker.
Well, Greg, this was your first time on the podcast. Thank you for coming and stopping by and spending some time with us.
I loved it.
This was cool, wasn't it?
Outstanding.
It was fun. Will you come back?
Absolutely. Whenever you want. Are you kidding me?
Maybe not for a while.
We still need to go to New York.
Oh, yeah, we do have to go to New York.
I had asked. I put in a request.
There's been a travel voucher.
Both at all levels of the organization.
Have you checked with shipping? Shipping's pretty busy right now.
I checked out everywhere.
Okay.
Speaking of shipping, what are you shipping?
Chick McGee t-shirts are available at chickmcgee.com.
Wow, that was smooth.
While they last.
They don't call him the best pitch man in the business.
Chick McGee CDs.
Wow.
Greg, do you have a webcast? You have a website, right?
Yeah, gregwarrencomedy.com.
gregwarrencomedy.com for
on
all
Twitter.
Greg Warren and at Greg Warren, right, on Twitter?
At Greg Warren. And I got to say, of my 12,600 Twitter followers, 12,550 were recommended by Chick McGee.
That's not true at all. Some of them just.
I'm in the same boat.
So you got at Greg Warren?
Yeah, I mean, but I mean,
Blue Band was taken.
You got in early.
No, I don't like that thing where they you have a nickname because then like people they want to you know. Maybe I should have done Flute Man. Maybe things would have worked out in this business better. Yeah.
All right.
But bigger stuff's Chili Time. People don't even know that.
I'm really not familiar with that name. we'll see you next time. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, babe. Good night, everybody!